Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased true crime channel. First on the docket, turning up the heat on Alex Murdoch, Matthew Taylor Coleman. Well, his family standing behind him saying it was, well, just a psychotic break. The band is getting back together again. That's right. The George Floyd officers all appeared in federal court today. High-speed chases, good or bad, an example. And then finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. Please like the video, and if you haven't subscribed, please do so by hitting that button. Now, don't forget to also hit the little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Well, guess what? Today is Tuesday. That means we are going live tonight, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, to talk about what you want to talk about. So make sure you join us 6 p.m. Mountain Time right here. Before we get to the docket, let's support our sponsor. Please go to crimetalkprep.com where you can get a 4-week emergency supply of food for $50 off and free shipping. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've all seen the weather. We know that there can be natural disasters as well as man-made disasters at any time when you least expect it. The power could be out for a long time. You need to be able to take care of you and your family. The way you do that is being responsible. Get that 4-week emergency food supply by going to crimetalkprep.com and you're going to get $50 off and free shipping. Don't wait before it's too late. You'll be happy you did. All right. First on the docket today, Alex Murdoch. That's right. He is officially at the center of the state investigation. The South Carolina State Law Enforcement Division, also known as SLED, announced Monday that it had opened a probe into Murdoch just days after news broke that he had been misappropriating funds from his law firm and has checked himself into rehab for a drug problem. Now, Murdoch resigned from his firm, which was founded by his great-grandfather, on September 3rd after other members of the firm confronted him with allegations that he had liberated some of the firm's money, reportedly in excess of $1 million. The next day, Murdoch called 911 to report that he had been shot on a remote rural road in Hampton County, South Carolina, and was ultimately flown to a hospital in Savannah for treatment for a superficial gunshot wound to the head. Now, SLED has put out a statement stating that they're investigating the entire shooting as well as the June 7th murder of his wife, Maggie, and his son, Paul, who were found shot to death on the Murdoch's hunting property. SLED stated in a statement, "I continue to urge the public to be patient and let the investigation take its course. Investigative decisions we make throughout this case and at any potentially related case must ultimately withstand the scrutiny of the criminal justice process." That was from Chief Mark Keel. He's the head of SLED. He continued on stating that as with all cases, SLED is committed to conducting a professional, thorough, and impartial investigation, no matter where the facts lead us. After Murdoch's ouster from his firm last week, the South Carolina Supreme Court suspended him from practicing law after receiving sufficient evidence that he poses a substantial threat of serious harm to the public or the administration of justice, i.e., there's pretty overwhelming evidence that he stole money. Now, that's the state's top police agency involved. It may prove more difficult for a family long suspected of enjoying outside influence in their corner of the state to avoid sustained sunlight. Now that the state's top police agency is involved, it may prove more difficult for a family long suspected of enjoying influence in their little corner of the state to avoid sustained sunlight. This case, ladies and gentlemen, is getting interesting. I told you when the news broke about Paul Murdoch's driving of the boat into the pillar, I told you there was something about this case I didn't obviously know where things were going. The circumstances regarding the Murdoch family certainly are taking a twist, and I don't think it was a twist that most people in that particular area of South Carolina ever thought would take place. All right, next on the docket, Matthew Taylor Coleman. Remember him? That's right. Just over a month ago, police say Coleman drove his two young children into Mexico. 2 days later, authorities allege he took the kids to a ranch where he killed them with a spear fishing gun and then returned to his hotel a few hours later. He was arrested when he attempted to cross the border back into the United States. At this point, his family is still processing the tragic event. A longtime family friend has said that his family now believes that Coleman had a psychotic break. It's the only explanation that makes any sense to us. Something clicked, and he did something that was incomprehensible. Before August 7th, we thought his life was damn near perfect. Coleman allegedly told police that he was motivated by QAnon, a conspiracy theory which holds the false belief that former President Donald Trump has been recently battling a cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles at the highest levels of political power and influence. Now, Coleman stated that he believed his children were going to grow into monsters, so he had to kill them. Now, Coleman was indicted on murder charges last week. He's eligible for the death penalty, and he is now being held in protective custody in a federal detention center. He has not yet entered a plea. Now, some people may say that this psychotic break is just a ploy to avoid responsibility. And having handled cases like this, where literally somebody who was, for lack of a better term, normal, and then one day just kind of loses it, I've seen it happen. And then you send everything to the doctors, they evaluate it, and they determine that sometimes that these, I frankly found it hard to believe the first time I ever saw it, but people do have psychotic breaks from reality, and they just do things that they normally would never do. Now, as long as it wasn't drug-induced, he may have some sort of a shot for a not guilty by reason of insanity. However, if it was a drug-induced psychotic episode, he'll have no shot. We'll continue to follow that case. Tragic case indeed. I understand the family standing by their son, their brother. That's what families do. Certainly, I doubt that they condone it, but they're looking for an explanation just like all of us. All right, the band is getting back together again. That's right. The four former Minneapolis police officers charged with violating George Floyd's civil rights pled not guilty Tuesday to the federal charge against them. A federal grand jury had indicted Derek Chauvin, Thomas Lane, Jay Koenig, and Tao Tao in May for allegedly depriving Floyd of his rights while under government authority back on May 25th of 2020. That was the day George Floyd was killed. All four men appeared at the hearing remotely via video conferencing equipment. Chauvin appeared from a room in the state's maximum security prison where he is serving his 22.5-year sentence for murdering George Floyd. The other three men appeared remotely alongside their attorneys. Now, Koenig and Tao have asked that their federal trials be separated from Chauvin's, saying that would be unfairly prejudicial if they went to trial alongside Chauvin. Lane asked to join in that request, which is being opposed by the prosecutors. For obvious reasons, the prosecutors only want to do it once. Derek Chauvin, one of the most hated men, obviously, in that state, if not the country, And the United States attorneys want to take advantage of that. So the United States magistrate hearing this matter right now, Judge Tony Leung, said he would take oral arguments on that motion. Koenig's attorney, Tom Plunkett, wrote in court documents that evidence against Chauvin would confuse the jury and deprive Koenig of his right to a fair trial. He also said there is a conflict of interest due to Chauvin's level of culpability in Floyd's death, saying that the jurors would not be able to follow the court's instructions and compartmentalize the evidence as it related to Mr. Koenig. Prosecutors have said in court documents that the four former officers should face trial together because the charges stem from the same event and the evidence is similar. As you may recall, Chauvin was convicted in April of murder and manslaughter and was sentenced to 22 and a half years. The other three former officers face state trial next March on aiding and abetting counts. We'll have to wait and see. Obviously, the defense doesn't want to be anywhere near Chauvin. He is kryptonite. Don't go near the guy. Nothing good's going to happen. But the argument that the jury can't weigh the evidence against each officer, that's going to be a tough argument to prevail upon, because the presumption is that the jury will follow the court's instructions. And my experience is that, well, juries take their jobs very seriously and they're going to do what they can to get it right. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket today, high-speed chases, good or bad? Let's take an example. A 12-year-old boy from Georgia was killed after the vehicle he was in flipped during a chase involving a state trooper on Friday, and now his mother says the police should have stopped pursuing the vehicle because there were children in the car. Now, a statement by the police indicated that the driver was suspected of driving under the influence of alcohol, and he now faces homicide-related charges for allegedly causing the boy's death. Leiden Boykins died after a Georgia State Patrol trooper followed Charlie Moore's vehicle during a highway chase, and then he used a tactic commonly referred to as a pit maneuver to end the pursuit. Leiden was a passenger in Moore's vehicle along with Moore's teen son. Police said Moore's Kia Sorento overturned after a pursuing trooper used the pit maneuver, which is when a police vehicle clips the rear of the vehicle to make it spin out. Now, the Georgia State Patrol said in an email that Moore, 35, was initially pulled over shortly after 1 a.m. by the troopers for speeding, but he then refused to lower his driver window or produce any type of identification. The trooper who pulled Moore over, who was not named, then asked for assistance, and the deputy with the Paulding County Sheriff's Office responded. The deputy broke Moore's driver's window. Moore then drove away and led police on a high-speed chase. Now, Moore and the 14-year-old passenger were treated for minor injuries. Moore, as I stated, faces charges including murder during the commission of a felony, a first-degree homicide by a vehicle, and aggravated assault against a police officer. He's also charged with DUI, having an open container in a motor vehicle, and driving on a suspended license. Now, Leiden's mother, Toni Franklin Boykins, is criticizing the police decisions, saying they could put a roadblock up and protect those kids. They couldn't figure out any other way other than to flip the car. She described her late son as energetic and popular in the neighborhood, and he was the sweetest kid that was taken away from her. She doesn't know how she's going to deal with this going forward. There's a lot of talk about high-speed chases. And there's a few felonies where on your first felony conviction, you're probably going to go to prison. I mean lower-level felonies. And one of them is eluding. Because they are so dangerous, they put everyone at risk in the public. Now, I certainly understand the mother in this particular situation. Tony Franklin Boykins. I could not imagine losing a child. My heart goes out to her. I understand her frustration with the police. However, maybe she needs to ask her boyfriend, well, why was he out drunk at 1 a.m. with kids in the car? Why didn't he stop? And maybe he needs to hold a little responsibility for the death of her son. Now, I don't think that's being too ridiculous. Now, some people will say, well, he was a black man. It was 1 a.m. in the morning, and he was in fear for his life. Well, then you could slowly drive away to the nearest police department. And as you may also recall, most officers these days do wear body-worn cameras. Additionally, when in doubt, that's right, anyone could have recorded the interaction with the police or simply started a recording on their phone as well. But it's a tough sell that he had to engage in a high-speed chase to get away from the police. Maybe the police could have let him go. They had his license plate. The police officer more than likely got a good identification for him, and they could have simply met him at home when he got there. Tough call. These cases are always difficult because when somebody engages in a high-speed chase, it usually is quite dangerous, and they usually end in a wreck for sure. Usually when somebody plows through an intersection, killing an innocent person. So, tough call. Let me know what you think in the comments section. All right, today, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. A motorist is facing charges of multiple felony counts for allegedly exposing himself to a series of toll collection workers on a Florida expressway. Mike Filia, 41, was arrested Saturday in connection with a one-week exposure spree that began on August 31st and victimized workers on three separate toll plazas in Osceola County. Now, he was arrested at his residence in St. Cloud and booked into county jail on six felony exposure counts, sexual organ counts, and one misdemeanor exposure charge. Now, Mr. Filia, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Really? You're driving around naked, going through toll plazas, exposing yourself. I'm not exactly sure why, Mr. Filia, you think that it is necessary to expose people to yourself and pleasure yourself at the same time. That's just stupid. Hey, you got to do what you got to do. Do it in the privacy of your own home. But when you start doing it where other people can see it that don't want to see it, well, you're going to get charged. And this was completely preventable, Mr. Filia. That's why you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. I think you have been catapulted to the front place spot for a dumb criminal contestant. We'll find out as the week progresses. All right, thanks for watching. Please join us tonight at 6 p.m. Mountain Time for our live show. And immediately following that, we will be doing our Patreon show as well, where the conversation will continue. And that's right, you can call in. So become a Patreon. It's worth it. All right, thanks for watching. We'll see you tonight on Crime Talk.